إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in hopes to better know who he was and where he came from and what his mission was as a prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is very interesting when you look at the history of mankind, specifically the history of the prophets and messengers, and you'll find that these great men of Allah Azza wa Jal, they had many similarities. They shared many qualities that were the same. The most profound and important of those qualities is it was that they believed in and worshipped the same Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they all worship the same Creator. You will not find any of the great prophets and messengers, those that were sent to mankind as warners and bringers of glad news and glad tidings, that they had a different God that they worshipped. You will not find one out of all of those great men. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that there were over 100,000 messengers that were sent to mankind throughout its history. And you will not find even a single one of them calling to another God, inviting people to worship someone or something besides Allah Azza wa Jal. This was a quality that they all shared together, that Allah is one and His message is one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not send various other messages that had different calls to different gods. But each one of these men, they called to the worship of Allah alone. And this was another similar quality that they shared, is that their message was also one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَقَّتْ عَلَيْهِ الضَّلَالَةِ فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ This verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what means, and we certainly sent into every nation a messenger. That every single nation of man was sent a messenger who would say to them and proclaim, worship Allah alone and avoid false deities. And among them were those whom Allah guided, and among them were those whom error was deservedly decreed. It was rightfully decreed that they be left in error, so proceed through the earth and observe, how has the end of the deniers come? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified for us this similarity of the prophets. In another ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya, verse number 25, Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونَ And we have not sent before you any messenger. We have not sent before you any messenger, not a single one, except that we reveal to him that there is no deity worthy of worship except me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the first verse mentioned here, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us, informing us and confirming for us that all of the messengers, they call to the same thing. And in the next ayah that I mentioned to you, it was a negation that there was anyone else calling to something different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in another verse, something similar, highlighting to us the singular nature of this belief and call. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَاعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. O Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O messengers, eat from the good foods and work righteousness. Indeed, I of what you do am knowing. I know what it is that you do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on and says, indeed this your religion is one religion. Your faith, it is one faith. When we look at the tafsir of the ayah, Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, one of the great imams and scholars of the Quran, he says, Mujahid was Sa'id ibn Jubair wa Qatada wa Abdurrahman ibn Zayd ibn Aslam, from the great scholars of the Tabi'een and the likes. They said about this verse, أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً, that your nation or your religion is one. They said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something regarding this verse, something to further explain this verse. So, to frame this, we see today amongst people of other faiths, those who have deviated from this original call of the prophets and messengers. There are those who follow prophets and messengers, but have deviated from their call, claiming to believe in a different God, or to worship Allah in a different way, which was not legislated. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith, he says, أَنَا أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِعِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ. He says, I am foremost of mankind when it comes to Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, alayhi salam. I am most rightful to him. He says, I am most rightful to him fi dunya wal akhirah, in this life and in the hereafter. Al-anbiya'u ikhwatun min allat. He says that the prophets, they are brothers. Ummahatuhum shatta wa dinuhum wahid. That their mothers were different, but their faith was the same. Their faith, it was one. So this is a quality in which all of the prophets and messengers shared in. That they all believed in Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of the creation, the one in whose hand is the heavens and the earth, and all that is in between. It is Allah Azza wa Jal, the mighty and majestic. And each one of these men, they invited their people, their tribes, and their kinsmen to believing in that same faith. There was not a different call. Something similar that they share in as well, another quality, was their training. It was their development in their former years. When you think of a leader today, when you think of a world leader today, there's a number of skills and qualities that go into your mind. Amongst those skills would be a person that is a visionary or has strategy, has knowledge of human psychology, has the ability to communicate, has the ability to motivate, and also has the power of persuasion, that they're able to sweet talk you into believing what they want. And also adaptability. We can see this as the politician's resume, skill set, that if people aren't happy with what he's saying, that he's ready to change on a moment's notice. Well, they didn't like that, so let's switch it up and say something different that they'll like, to gain popularity and to gain authority. This is what today's modern leader has to have of skills. And they go through training. If you want to become a politician or a world leader, there's a number of things that they tell you to do. You either go into military school and academy and you enlist in the service, or you go become a lawyer, you go to law school, or you have an advanced degree in politics. This was not the training of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his first school or his first academy, it was out in the fields as a shepherd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from humble beginnings, was a shepherd, herding flocks of sheep. There was no military academy or institute of politics or business or law. He was not worried about being able to persuade, not worried about being able to adapt to people's opinions and ideas, but he grew up as a shepherd. We talked about his childhood, his early years, when he was with his wet nurse, Halima bin Sa'diyah, and when he was in their village with his brother from that wet nurse, they were taking care of the sheep, they were taking care of the flock. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما بعث الله نبيا إلا رعى الغنم. He said that Allah has not sent a messenger except that they were shepherds, except that they herded sheep. فقال أصحابه وأنت. So his companions, they said, and you? Herding sheep is not like a great career. Right? It's not like a wealthy businessman or a landowner or someone that has great influence in their society at the time. Just like it is today, it's something that you do out in the farm. It's a farmer's job. So they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even you did this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time was who he was. He was the messenger of Allah. فَقَالَ نَعَمْ كُنْتُ أَرْعَاهَا عَلَى قَرَارِيْتَ لِأَهْلِ مَكَّةِ. He says, I used to do it. He says, of course, I used to do it and I got paid for doing it from the people of Mecca. And the money that he used to receive, it was minimal, it was nominal. There was nothing of great value to it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration on Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, qala kunna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam najni al-kabah. He said, the companions, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we were picking fruits. Right? So they were on a journey. And it was said that their journey was in between Mecca and Al-Medina. And on the way in the desert, you have trees. And this is where people take their flock of sheep out to graze. And on those trees, there are fruits. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were picking fruits. He says, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْأَسْوَدِ مِنْهَا فَإِنُّ أَطْيَبُ. He says, you should take the black fruits from the tree because those are the best. So the companions, they took this advice and they saw something from it. And they said, قَالُوا أَكُنْتَ تَرْعَى الْغَنَمْ. Did you used to herd sheep? Because it was the herders that were out in the desert that knew about the desert fruits and plants. Because they were out there feeding their sheep and they were also eating a lot of the time from the same food that the sheep were eating from. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَهَلْ مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ رَعَاهَا. He says, is there a prophet? Is there a messenger except that they herded sheep? A herder, a shepherd. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his first real job, his first training to become a messenger, it was as a shepherd. Brothers and sisters, this wasn't haphazard. This was the job and occupation of all of the prophets and messengers to herd sheep. This was their training. This was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the great scholars of hadith, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he says in a book called Fath al-Bari, which is an explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ الْحِكْمَةُ فِي إِلْهَامِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ رَعِي الْغَنَمِ. He says that the wisdom that the scholars have derived from these prophets, being shepherds, قَبْلَ النَّبُوَّ أَنْ يَحْسُلَ لَهُمَ التَّمَرُّنْ بِرَعِيَهَا. That they are training before their prophethood to become shepherds and herd their flock. And this is what is required of them, as he says, عَلَى مَا يُكَلِّفُونَهُ مِنْ الْقِيَامِ بِأَمْرِ أُمَّتِهِمْ. That this training that they're going through as a shepherd is teaching them how to be a shepherd for their ummah. How to be a shepherd for their followers and take care of the requirements of their community. So these great men, the prophets and messengers, were made shepherds by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they were young, preparing them to be shepherds after their prophet for their community. One of the great scholars of this era, Imam al-Shaykh Abdurrahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah, expounded upon this a little bit more, saying that just like Musa alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decreed to become shepherds, they began their life herding sheep. And this was a stage that they went to, gradually herding wild animals or animals that are out in the badia, in the desert, looking after them and caring for them, until they eventually reached to the point where they were looking after herds of human beings, looking after communities of Bani Adam. This was a great wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani continues talking about some of these great benefits. The benefits of which, he says, first and foremost, it develops patience and it develops compassion. Right, when you look at this animal, the sheep, they are very, very different types of animals. And they are different amongst their own type. You develop this patience by herding the flock. The sheep, one wants to climb the mountain, one wants to stay in the valley, one is stubborn, one is docile, one is weak, one is strong. So you're taking your sheep out there and you're constantly looking after them, worried about their safety and survival from either being stolen or from being eaten by the wolf. So while one is running up the mountain and one is going into the valley and this one is eating and that one, you're having to watch, pull them back, and learning how to deal with the different types of sheep. Having to deal with the different abilities of sheep and constantly concerned for their care. This was one of the great lessons of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like his brothers before. They learned patience and they learned compassion for this small and harmless animal that is hunted by wild beasts. Another great lesson the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam learned from this experience as a shepherd was humility. You can see in the previous narrations when his companions asked him, "And you were a shepherd?" And he says, "Yes, I was a shepherd." He was not embarrassed. He was not ashamed. The first way, or the first thing that people do that have reached a certain status in their community is that they try to hide what they were before. The humble beginnings in which they began. They started out as a shoe shiner. They started out as a bus boy. Right? They started out cleaning tables and they ended up owning a restaurant. They never want to admit that they started cleaning those tables. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had no problem with that. The shaitan, this is how he gets to you, with your ego. Pride. Conceit. That you will try to conceal your past. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, totally humble, he had no problem admitting that. And this was his character, even while he was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a story narrated in Sunan ibn Majah, on the authority of Abi Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, qala, ata an-nabiyya sallallahu alaihi wasallam rajulun, fakallamahu faja'ala tur'adu fara'isu. So a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he started talking to him, he became very nervous, became very jittery and was shaking. Right? If you could imagine going to someone of great status, going to the leader of a country, and you're going to talk to them about something, you will get nervous. You might not even be able to speak. So he's standing in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Hawwin alayk." He says, "Calm down. Calm down." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Fa'inni lastu bi malik." He says, "I'm not a king." He says, "I'm not a king." He said, "I'm the son of a woman who used to eat dried meat." We know the noble lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We've come to know that over the last couple of weeks. He didn't come from some obscure family or tribe, but he was from the greatest of tribes and families. Those tribes and families that dated back to the greatest of men. Ismail alayhi salam and his father Ibrahim. He could have become proud and said, "You're talking to a prophet. You're talking to people of status, the Quraysh." But he said, "I'm a son of a mother who used to eat dried meat." Not even fresh meat, but meat they used to salt and let dry and put in their stores. This was the nature of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was his beginnings, and this is what shaped his attitude and his personality. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه ونصلي ونسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a great example for us in many, many, many different ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Indeed, in the Messenger of Allah, there is a great example for those of you who remember Allah, for those of you who hope in the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remember Him much. Those who are conscious of Allah, those who are striving in their journey of life to Allah Azza wa Jal, they will find an example in this man, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the best and finest example. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was a shepherd at a young age, and he remained a shepherd throughout his life. Being a shepherd as he was, he also told us as his followers that we were shepherds. Though many of us, we don't go out into the field and herd flocks of sheep, we have our own flock that we have to tend to in our homes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, عن سالم بن عبد الله عن أبيه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كلكم راعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. In this hadith he said, each and every one of you is a shepherd, and you are responsible for your flock. وَمَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. You will be asked about your flock. You will be asked about those in your care. فَالْإِمَامُ رَعٍ وَمَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. The leader is responsible and will be asked about his flock. وَالرَّجُلُ رَعٍ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَمَسْئُولٌ عَنْ أَهْلِهِ. That the man is responsible, he is a shepherd to his family and will be asked about his family. That the man, brothers, is a shepherd to his family. He is looking out for them, and he will be asked about that family. وَالْمَرْأَةُ رَعِيَّةٌ فِي بَيْتِ زَوْجِهَا وَمَسْئُولَةٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهَا. That the woman, the wife, she is also a shepherd. Not all of the responsibility falls on the men, but there is responsibility placed as well on the women, the wives. That they are shepherds in the house of their husband, and they will be asked about their responsibility, about their flock. One of the great companions, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, narrated that the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَمَا مِنْ رَعٍ إِلَّا يُسْأَلُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَقَامَ أَمْرَ اللَّهِ أَمْ أَضَاعَهُ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says that there is not one shepherd, there is not one shepherd amongst you, there is not one shepherd amongst you that will not be asked on the Day of Judgment if they established the order of Allah or they squandered it. When it comes to their flock, we will all be asked how we handle that responsibility. It has been entrusted to us by Allah Azza wa Jal. It's not something that came about by our own hands and ability, that we have a family, that we have children, that we have parents. That was from the decree and order and the blessing and the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has entrusted us with that and that care of that. So each and every one of us will be asked about that. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, a great scholar of Islam from the medieval time, he says that the scholars, they consider a shepherd to be a person who is a protector. A person who is a protector, who is dependable and dedicated to goodness and benefit for themselves, as well as those who are in their care. Whoever is in their care, they are charged. They are charged to be just and to see to that which will benefit them in this life and the next. Brothers and sisters, as a shepherd, our responsibility is to look after our flock. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked after his flock, and that is our job as well. We have been entrusted with that. And just like the sheep that wants to stray from the flock, just like that sheep that wants to stray in that flock and go and taste something else on the other side, we pull that sheep back in, protecting it from danger. We must also act in the same manner when it comes to our flock. We cannot allow our flock to stray into the reach of the wolf just because they want to. From amongst our flock, there are those that want to stray just to taste the delight. I just want to do it. And as a shepherd, you have to make the tough decisions. You have to make the difficult decisions, the unpopular decisions, for the betterment and the protection of those in your care. Even if they do not like it and do not appreciate it, it is your responsibility as the shepherd of your flock to take care of them regardless if they are happy or not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't come to just convey for us the good and enjoin upon us the good, but he also came to prohibit us from the evil and warn us from that outcome. So when it comes to our flock, our families, our children especially, and this is where it happens and is of the most importance when it comes to the children, we are to make that decision even if they will not like the decision. Many times you hear parents say, I don't want to say no to them because I don't want them to be upset with me. I want my children to like me. I want my children to be my friend. That's great. And you should want that your children loves you and likes you and wants to be with you and your friend. But not at the expense of their safety. Not at the expense of their salvation. That you allow them to do whatever it is that they want. The same thing goes between a husband and a wife. You do not allow one or the other to do any old thing just because they want to do it. If it is of detriment, then it is certainly your responsibility as a shepherd, be it the man or the woman, to step in and put a stop to that behavior. Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan warzuqna ittiba'a وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلًا وَرْزُقْنَا اجْتِنَابًا اللهم مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين